everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of March 4th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and soon-to-be springy Melissa Hansen.
Oh, yeah, that's me. It's my whole darn personality.
Well, I'm just
like
wondering.
Like a damn Easter bunny.
It's still snowing here in New England. I'm like, when does spring finally start? You know, when can we get out of this?
Well, we're having our, like, 2 weeks of spring.
Yeah.
Right now in Texas, and summer will be starting in 2 or 3 weeks. Oof. So,
lovely.
Oh, wow. But what? Speaking of seasons,
yes.
We're kind of out of the award season now.
Thank God.
I don't know. Do we want to wrap up the Academy Awards?
We could do it quickly because I think, you know, you and I were live tweeting it, and I think at one point I messaged you and said, I feel like I'm stoned right now. Because that opening with William Shatner was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
It was. It was kind of good. And it was a fairly, again, controversial, which they knew.
Yeah.
Having Seth MacFarlane host, it would be. And there's been so many articles and back and forth this week about sexist stuff and whether it was appropriate, whether it was funny, whether... And I... The whole boob song, when it was on, it was funny.
Yeah.
And kind of cute. And then there was one point during it that I was like, oh, I don't know. It was the Jodie Foster line.
Oh, yeah.
People didn't watch it. He goes through and he lists all these actresses' boobs we've seen.
Right.
And what movies we've seen it in. Well, the accused. Yes, we saw Jodie Foster's boobs while her character was being gang-raped.
Yeah.
That's different than Kate Winslet in all these, in the funny line with Kate Winslet. And he kept going and going and going. And I don't know. There's been a lot of controversy about it. And I'm kind of torn on the issue. And I think if someone other than Seth MacFarlane had sang that song, it might have been how ridiculous it is that it's a big deal we see women's boobs.
Yeah, right.
And how ridiculous it is that it's like shocking or titillating, shall we say?
Yes.
But because it's Seth MacFarlane, who's known for being just a creepy ass, it didn't have that. Like if a woman had done it, maybe, or I don't know, if someone else... that, you know, like a cuddly teddy bear kind of guy had done it instead of, a Ted teddy bear kind of guy.
Right.
I think it could have taken on a very different meaning.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Overall, it was too damn long of a show.
As always.
I mean, most of the winners weren't surprises.
Yeah.
But the very interesting and what's come out of this is the visual effects.
Oh, yes.
So one of the winners, visual effects, got cut off. Mm-hmm. During their speech. Now, the music had been playing a little bit, and they were going long, but they got cut off right as they were talking about their company filing for bankruptcy, basically.
Right.
Which is interesting. And there was a protest outside by visual effects people, and still a big topic of conversation. And that visual effects companies are going out of business left and right.
Yeah.
That they are not getting paid, that they've been consistently abused by Hollywood for years. So that's the interesting that came out of the Academy Awards.
I agree.
Not, you know, Affleck being able to give his speech because Clooney didn't say anything and Grant kept it short and let... because he was denied giving his speech actually for director.
Yeah.
That he got to do it, you know, for producer of Argo.
Yeah.
Which was cool. And so I don't know. To me, the big thing is that some light is being shed on how visual effects departments and companies are treated in Hollywood.
That's true. And for anybody who spent any time in the industry, you know, just there's a great discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who work the hardest and the people who don't work as hard and collect a very huge paycheck. And that's been going on for a long time, but people don't see that because they go to the movies and see these fantastic films that keep getting bigger and bigger and more things are being done in CGI. And somebody's behind the screen pulling all the levers and switches, making that stuff happen.
Right. And they're not on the screen.
Right.
So you don't think about them.
Right.
And they get really screwed over.
And where it used to be, Industrial Light and Magic was the big effects house that everybody would go to. Now, if you watch the credits on all these big blockbuster superhero action films and things, you'll see that there's 6, 8, 10 different effects studios from around the world who are being used to create these things, whereas one company or two companies used to do it. And yeah, it's we'll have you work for us now, and then we'll pay you later when we get around to it, when we can prove that the movie actually made money. And then they have the corporate accountants who say, oh no, this movie didn't make any money at all, so we can't pay you what we thought we were going to pay you. And it's just, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's really, I have a friend of a friend who used to work in visual effects. Ah. He's now at MIT.
Oh, damn.
Going to grad school and doing research. His name's Dan Novy.
Yeah.
And I tweeted on our Verdict account a link to his Twitter account, because he was talking a lot about what it was really like when he worked in it, and a lot about this protest. And it's at Novysan, if you guys want to go back and kind of check out his Twitter feed.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of information about what it was, like I said, what it was like working there and kind of like what's going on with the protest.
Yeah.
So anyhow, just wanted to throw that out. And now we can get off our soapbox, or
right, exactly.
All right, so let's look at what all the visual effects people made this week.
Well, the one right at the top of the list is Jack the Giant Slayer,
which is full of it.
Yes.
So anyhow, yeah, Jack the Giant Slayer. I made $28 million this weekend, and then ready. Okay, so $28 million
mm-hmm.
number two.
Yeah.
Less than $10 million, 9.7 million for Identity Thief.
Yeah.
Hello. 21 and over, $9 million. The Last Exorcism Part 2, $8 million. And Snitch, $7.7
million. Not much changed. The two new movies that we were expecting would show up did.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it was pretty much identical to last week, minus a few million dollars here and there for each one. Next week coming up, there's only one movie of note that's really being opening on this weekend on Friday is Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yes.
Which is the Disney movie with James Franco, which was supposed to star Robert Downey Jr.
I think it'd be a very different movie.
Yeah.
I would have looked forward to that, absolutely. But I'm really looking forward to this one. And the cast is just, you know, over the moon.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Sam Raimi is behind this. You know, so we all know what he did recently with Spider-Man, with Spider-Man trilogy. And Sam is a very well-respected cult film director who's stepped into the mainstream and done some impressive things as well. But this movie is finally coming out. It feels like it's been promoted for years. You know?
It has. Yeah, it has. It's a long time. But yeah, I'm excited. So we have, yeah, it kind of the prequel to Wizard of Oz.
Right.
And it's, yeah, the wizard showing up and being thrust into this role, and here we have all the witches,
right?
Which is exciting. Which Mila Kunis and Rachel Weisz and Michelle Williams.
Yep.
So excited. So anyhow, I'm sure that'll be top of the thing.
Oh, you know that's going to be the biggest mm-hmm. box office generator for this week. The other Sam Raimi tie-in for this week is the remake of Evil Dead is opening at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin.
Ah, cool.
And this is starring Jane Levy from Suburgatory.
Oh, she's so cute.
So.
But like quirky, interesting,
yes.
Cute.
Yes.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
I have another Sam Raimi note, but we'll get to that in entertainment news. But let's look at what's coming at DVD and Blu-ray this week. Again, this is not an impressive week anywhere across the board. So on DVD and Blu-ray, we've got Wreck-It Ralph, which was one of Disney's Oscar-nominated animated films this year, which is still sitting here, which I have to review. Schindler's List, Steven Spielberg's, you know, World War II, highly emotional, incredibly intense drama, is finally coming to Blu-ray this week, and it's a 20-year special edition.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, world.
Yeah. Westworld, which is the classic, or I should say cult classic, 1970s film starring Yul Brynner as a robot. It's kind of, this movie creeped the shit out of me when I was a kid when I saw it. Because it was a live act, it was an amusement park where people would go, kind of like Fantasy Island, but it was all androids and things. So you can go, and one of the scenarios, and I think it was Richard Benjamin who went to this Wild West town, and this was his thing, that he wanted to be in a gunfight with a gunslinger. Well, the robots go wrong and become lethal, as opposed to, you know, so now they have to escape out of this theme park that's gone horribly wrong. There's also a sequel called Future World that starred Peter Fonda that Shout Factory is releasing next week, so I'm waiting for Warner Brothers to send us this one, so hopefully we can review the two together. Two other things of note, another Bruce Willis directed DVD film this week called Lay the Favorite, which looks like a romantic Las Vegas comedy. And then Do you know anything about this Duck Dynasty?
Oh my God!
This is like
we talked about this.
The
was
hottest
it last, it was last week because they just started the new season.
Okay,
I don't get it. So anyhow, really interesting. Yeah. Morrissey was supposed to be on. Oh, was it Kimmel? I think it was one of the late-night talk shows.
Yeah, because he's touring.
And the Duck Dynasty guys were going to be on it.
Okay.
And Morrissey's like, I'm not going to be on the show with them.
Oh.
Because they made this rednecky family that made a fortune on duck calls.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's Duck Dynasty. They're rich off of duck calls, which obviously are used for hunting and killing ducks. And Morrissey is a huge vegan animal rights person. And he's like, I don't want to be in a show with people who are responsible, you know, for slaughtering animals.
Sure.
And so he bowed out. I mean, he did it really tastefully and respectfully.
Oh, sure.
But he, anyhow... I don't know.
Well, that's interesting. So season two is coming to DVD this week, and it's one of the top sellers on Amazon right now.
Oh, yeah. I don't get it. Either
the world is going to implode or people are going to wake up to the fact that reality TV is a complete waste of time.
I know.
I'm scared to see which one's going to happen first.
Yeah.
Over at Netflix, we have a handful of titles at the beginning of the month, right? It used to be that all this stuff would come out.
Yeah.
Now there's maybe 20 titles, half of which nobody's ever heard of before. And then that's it until the end of the month. So three of note for this month are Hustle and Flow,
which was
the critical favorite. Yeah. You know, kind of an intense drug realism story.
Yeah.
The fantasy, the romantic fantasy, Amelie.
Oh, so beautiful.
It is.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And then the Antonio Banderas, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Mask of Zorro, which is a lot of fun.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the highlights for Netflix this week. Over at Hulu, how long has Tupac been dead?
Oh, my, forever and a day.
Yeah. Well, there's two new documentaries hitting Hulu this week. Tupac versus Tupac and Tupac Before I Wake. It just seems
it's crazy. But wait till we get to music coming out this week. It's not Tupac, but there's a shocker in there.
Okay. A couple other things. In time for Lent, Josh Hartnett's 40 Days and 40 Nights, where he decides to give up masturbation for Lent.
Oh, yeah.
there's a nice little romantic comedy for you. And then Don the Dragon Wilson in Ring of Fire 1, 2, and 3, for those of you who need your kind of
excellent. All three.
Yes. The trilogy is...
Yay, we don't have to deal with just one or two.
But that's pretty much it for streaming. And in the coming weeks for March, we're going to have very little to talk about for streaming.
All right.
But I'll throw it over to you for TV.
Okay. Well, TV this week, you know, talking about reality, Bravo has L.A. Shrinks, a new series. It's L.A. psychiatrists. People let cameras in on their sessions with them.
that's
appropriate in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
All right. Anyhow. And then Monday is The Bachelor. It's the Women Tell All special episode. So if you have been watching that, you're not going to want to miss that episode. Wednesday on Bravo, it's the new season of The Rachel Zoe Project.
Oh.
It's Zoe, right? It's not Zoe. It's Zoe.
I don't know.
I don't care enough about her. I've seen a couple episodes, but I really don't care enough to go check out to say her name correctly. She's the stylist.
Yes.
She's the, like, she weighs like 72 pounds and she has blonde hair and doesn't seem like she has a brain in her head, but she's a completely successful businesswoman.
Yes.
So, anyhow, on Thursday, Animal Planet has a new miniseries.
Really?
Ready? Battleground Rhino Wars.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Wow. Where's Peter? Right. I hate him.
And then all of us Grimsters, of which I most definitely won. It's back on Friday on NBC. It started early and did a whole bunch of episodes and then took a chunk break. And anyhow,
okay,
it's back and there's good stuff happening.
I have not seen anything from season two.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really a good show.
Yeah.
And then NBC on Friday also has the season premiere of Fashion Star.
Okay.
And Saturday, Timberlake's hosting NSL.
Oh, yeah. So he's probably hosting
Wait.
SNL.
Yeah, that would be
one. That would be it. Dyslexic Saturday Night Live.
That's it. So anyhow, I'm sure we will have some music videos maybe to watch.
Dick in a box,
we
maybe.
We can only help. So, okay, so music this week, like I said. Ready for this?
Ready.
It's called People, Hell, and Angels. It's never heard or never released, never heard by you and me. Studio recordings?
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix.
Shut up.
Seriously.
Wow.
It's stuff he was working on right before he died, and it hasn't been released.
Wow.
And it is coming out now.
I'd be curious to hear that.
Hello. So, Luke Bryan has Spring Break Here to Party coming out. It's a couple new songs, but it's remastered versions of all his party songs. So, Sunvolt, his new album is called Honky Tonk. And just for Eric, Nanobots by They Might Be Giants
is
out.
Great.
So, well, not just for him, for you and me too. But anyhow, and then Robin Hitchcock has a new album called Love from London. And then books this week, it's all nonfiction.
Oh.
And it's, we got sports and we got like politics.
All right.
So Pat Summitt, who's the winningest coach in NCAA basketball history. And was it a couple of years ago she announced she had early onset Alzheimer's?
Oh.
Anyhow, she has a memoir out called Sum It Up, 1,098 Victories, a couple of irrelevant losses, and a life in perspective.
Okay.
So her story, which obviously is a very interesting one. And then we also have a book from the second winningest coach in NCAA history, Bob Knight.
Oh, jeez.
The Power of Negative Thinking, An Unconventional Approach to Achieving Positive Results.
Yeah.
So that's out. And then also in sports, Jay Bilas, ESPN basketball analysis and former Duke player.
Okay.
Toughness, Developing the Strength on and off the court. So we are all set with merch, with just much college basketball is you can read and watch.
March Madness begins in a couple weeks. So
yep. So excited. Anyhow, I also said politics and books this week. And Sandra Day O'Connor, Out of Order, Stories from the History of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And then Rachel Maddow, Drift, The Unmooring of American Military Power. Those are both out this week. And this week in theater,
yes,
Broadway previews just began Sunday the 3rd, and it officially opens in a month, but Kinky Boots.
Oh, good.
Finally. And it's based on the movie, but Harvey Fierstein wrote the book, and Cyndi Lauper wrote the music and lyrics.
Nice.
It's just, I'm seriously contemplating a trip to New York for this one.
Yeah.
It is going to be fun. So,
all right.
Not fun stuff is happening in Hollywood. We're starting with a downer this week.
Yes, we are. The death of Bonnie Franklin at age 69 from pancreatic cancer. Now, most of you may know her as Anne Romero, Anne Romano, mm-hmm. the mother of two, Valerie Bertinelli and Mackenzie Phillips on One Day at a Time. But she was a Santa Monica native, born and raised in the Los Angeles area. She was a child actor from the age of 9, and she made her Broadway debut in 1970, earning a Tony nomination for her role in the musical Applause.
Yeah, she was so much more than...
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Than just a sitcom.
What people of our generation know.
Right, exactly. But she's been doing a lot of theater, staged readings and theater productions in Southern California over the past, 15, 20 years. But late in September, she was diagnosed with and started treatment for pancreatic cancer. And as we know, because we have a friend who's one of the very few survivors. There's only a 5% survival rate for this.
Yeah, and my friend Mike, who passed away just over a month ago, was diagnosed right before her with pancreatic cancer. It is quick and fast and horrible and is a nasty disease. So, I don't know, condolences to her family and friends. And I pointed out, in all seriousness, I wonder how Mackenzie Phillips is doing.
Oh.
Because she obviously played her daughter on TV, but Mackenzie Phillips was good friends with Mindy McCready. They were on Celebrity Rehab to, together kind of thing. So I honestly, I'm like, ooh, is she, how many drugs is she doing at the moment dealing with this?
She's a fragile person herself. I mean, look at the family that she grew up
that's
in.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Anyhow, that's to have two big blows. I'm actually genuinely concerned about her.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Peter Jackson's third Hobbit film is getting pushed back to December of 2014. It was originally supposed to be out in the summer, but they've moved it back to Christmas time. They didn't specifically say why. My guess is there's still a lot of work to be done on number two, and that they're just going to need some more. They're going to need more than 6 months to prepare for number three.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe is expected to play Igor in Max Landis's reimagining of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
That is so cool.
So, you know, Max's
props
last
to him for taking that out, you know, not the big showy cute role.
Right.
Yeah.
Although what worries me is Kenneth Branagh's version with Robert De Niro was so painfully bad that I don't know if I want to see another attempt at reimagining Frankenstein. I'd rather watch Boris Karloff and Colin Clive.
Yeah.
But this is going to be directed by Sherlock's Paul McGuinn. So, McGuigan, pronounce it right.
I'm sure I pronounced half the sports people's names wrong. Don't worry about it.
So we mentioned Sam Raimi earlier. He had just announced that he and his brother Ivan are planning to write a fourth Evil Dead film this summer.
Nice.
So whether that means that Bruce Campbell's going to reprise his role as
Ash. Oh, we can only hope and pray.
A senior Ash kind of taking on the Evil Dead. Yeah, that would be something. Actually, the third film is still my favorite, Army of Darkness. It's a comedy. It's a throwback to the Ray Harryhausen kind of stop motion animation style. It was just ridiculously fun. So if they do another one in that same vein, I will be very, very happy. And speaking of comedy, Whose Line Is It Anyway is coming back to TV this summer.
Yes.
But Aisha Tyler is replacing Drew Carey as host.
I think that'll work.
I think so too.
She's smart and funny. She's on, which one? The Talk.
Yeah.
Kind of thing now, and we all remember her from Talk Soup, along with her, you know, regular acting.
Yeah.
So I think she'll do well. Yeah. I'm excited.
And it has long been recorded as the cheapest show in television history to produce.
Oh, I'm sure.
But Ryan Stiles, Colin Mochrie, and Wayne Brady are all signed on to anchor the cast, and you're going to see a whole bunch of other improv folks float in and out from week to week. So
yeah,
it's
exciting.
It's funny. I mean, it really is a funny show.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all I got.
Okay. Well, those of you who thought Kanye and Kim weren't going to make it, he put his house up for sale, so he's doing it. He's shacking up with her. They recently bought, you know, a big house in Beverly Hills, of course. But he just listed his Hollywood Hills home.
Uh-huh.
It's, yeah, the old one is only 4,000 square feet. The new one's 14,000 square feet.
Is that all? 4,000? What was my apartment? 900-something square feet?
Oh, 700?
No, 900. The one in Marina Del Rey was 900.
No, but anyhow, so that's that. And I know he has homes all over the place, and they will have homes all over the place. But is he ever back in Chicago? I was thinking about this. I know he's in New York a lot, and obviously L.A.
Because his mom is dead, right?
Because mom's gone. But he's a good old Chicago boy.
Yeah, don't
And I know when he started, I was totally, like, proud of him. And then I realized he's flipping insane.
Douche.
And, you know, then wasn't touting him as a good old Chicago boy.
No.
Yeah, I don't think he's back there at all.
I don't think so. Associate Jennifer Hudson with Chicago. That's
We'll take her. We'll claim her. We're claiming J Hud.
Yeah.
And LA, you can have Kanye.
And Barack. We'll still claim I'm Barack. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was going to say some of our writers wouldn't.
Well,
but,
no, that's true.
But they're not the ones from Chicago.
That's
so,
right. Right.
Yeah. We'll claim them. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we claiming Billy Corgan still?
I don't know. Is he still producing anything? Is he still?
Yeah, I mean, he's still doing stuff.
Yeah.
He's still producing, recording, and whatever. I don't know. He's just kind of a jerk, too. So I didn't know if we were claiming him. Or...
Pearl Jam is still a Chicago Tide band.
Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, on that note, we will wrap up this somewhat shortened, abbreviated show. But thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, check over to DVDverdict.com for our reviews and to look at what's coming up on DVD and Blu-ray. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I can't say goodbye. Somehow, I cannot find the strength to let go, to be without you. This can't be goodbye.